Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And if you've heard my show before with Richard, you know this is at least my favorite time of the week, and I suspect Richard's also. Richard, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Always in agreement with you, Carolyn.
Oh, and he is usually. And I with him. It works well. Anyway. Tonight is going to be interesting, I suspect. I know I say that every night that we're talking with you. If you listen to our shows, you know that sometime in the past that our former president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, came and talked with us and gave some incredibly wonderful information for you, the listeners. And I respected everything that he said. And when he came to me and said that I should have his brother on the show, I certainly did feel very kindly towards that. They were very close with one another. He called him Bobby. And if you know anything about the history, his name was Robert. And he also would have served as a wonderful president also, I do believe, if he wasn't assassinated. And so the things that he is here to discuss, I think all of you will be very interested in. So, Richard, would you be kind enough to... before we get to that, I do want to mention, in case there's new listeners, Richard will bring forth the description of our guest tonight, Robert. And if you concentrate on your third eye and see a picture there of what he looked like during life, you might remember. And in your heart, also try and feel his energies. Richard will describe them to you, and you might have a very close connection with this gentleman. Hopefully you will. I know I do. Richard, would you be kind enough to tell our audience what Bobby's energy feels like?
Bobby has an interesting energy. It is, it's almost like it's crackling, like it's darting around almost, but that's a secondary kind of sense. It is relatively central in my experience, a little bit left of center, not tremendously powerful. But it's like it carries this sense of inquisitiveness, darting here and there, kind of turning over stones to find things out. This almost, it's not really mercurial because it doesn't carry any sense of kind of powerful anger or anything like that about it. It's just like this darting around sense about it, quite unusual. And I didn't really know a lot about him in life, but I would not be surprised if he was had a very inquiring mind. He would look into lots of things, probably examined many, many issues in trying to do what he felt was his to do. Very interesting kind of energy.
I feel somewhat of a gentleness about him. And I was wondering if you felt that also.
That's there. Yes, I would agree. Yes, there is a gentleness and a compassion about him.
Mm-hmm. And when I think of what his brother's energy felt like, it is so different from each other.
Yes.
And it's hard to explain the difference for me, but I felt this power with JFK. And it's not that Bobby didn't carry his own personal power, but he had great intention to accomplish what he set out to do. But yet there was this gentle side of him And that's almost kind of contradictory to one another in a way, but that's what I'm feeling about him. He's complex. He reminds me of someone who would be a very faithful friend if he chose to be your friend.
Yes, I could imagine that they really were very complementary, those two, in life.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you'd be kind enough to connect with him, I understand he has a message for us and our listeners tonight.
Yes, I'm interested to see what he has to say also. Says he has quite a long message for us. As JFK said, I was keen to come forth and to share with you the journey of the dark as I see it from the time of Atlantis until now. And I will preface this by saying that firstly, in my life, you will see that in my own way, indeed as I reflect upon it now, I understand it better than I understood it then. I was driven to seek out the dark ones and to do my best to corral them. And I realized after my death that my attempts were rather naive, given the power that they wielded and the myriad of paths that they walked and indeed dominated. You would perhaps know that I focused primarily on the Mafia in terms of my direct focus, but really I came to understand that the Mafia was just one face of a multi-headed hydra, you might say, that had its head in the political structure and led to my brother's demise, and also in so many areas, the control of the military-industrial complex, the control of the banking system, of the pharmaceutical industry, and so we could go on, all these things you know. But I hadn't really understood all of this when I was alive, and I had become aware, in a sense, of the involvement of the Mafia in my brother's death, though there was no real opportunity to bring that forth. And I had a sense that LBJ, who replaced my brother, also had a hand in things, and indeed it was one of the reasons that we separated paths in the fullness of time. But I really did not understand the complete domination of so many paths by the dark that were very well entrenched in John's and my time. And so in a sense, this acted as something of a trigger for me to investigate how the dark have been involved on planet Earth and how this came to be. And John and I, and we are still very much in contact on this side, felt there would be value, particularly in this exquisite time that you are in, this being the last Saturday before the coming solstice, where I could perhaps share with you my understanding of the path that the dark have walked. This subject is a very broad one, and it could go to many levels. And I will simply say that there was an agreement to allow the dark to be expressed in this first half of this cycle of Brahma, And there was an agreement of sorts that they would be able to come forth and interfere with humanity over a period of time. And it was not fully understood by many on Earth why this was so. And that interference began at the time of Atlantis, in essence, or indeed you might say threads of it were emerging in the Lemurian time, although those two in fact overlapped. But the real interference in truth came forth in the time of Atlantis. And there were beings allowed to come to the planet who had walked a dark path, a warlike path, and in fact had destroyed their own planet through their warmongering. And it was believed that those who came here would be influenced by the love of humanity. They would be overtaken by the love and the peace and the love and the peace and the compassion which was expressed here. But in fact, that is not how things unfolded. Indeed, it was exactly the opposite. And those individuals sought out power and control. And they took control of the priest class, you might say, within Atlantis, and took control of the use of the energies coming forth from that red crystal that was used to not only power so much in that time, but also was used by, in particular, the initiated to create using those energies. And the dark priests took this for their own use and began to lead humanity in general down a very dark path. And it was decided that this could not continue. And so the fall in Atlantis ensued, where some of the powers and abilities that humanity had were curtailed, because some of those powers and abilities needed to be protected from those who were seeking to control them completely. And so the fall ensued. The capabilities of humanity was reduced dramatically. The brain was segmented into two halves. Most of the DNA was shut down. Beings incarnating into this consciousness left their memories and most of their skills behind. And so it has been this tremendously difficult path where, for all intents and purposes, with the exception perhaps of the early Egyptian experience, where beings came forth to reinstate much of the skills from Atlantis that could operate in this consciousness, the experience of humanity went back to the beginning. And so what emerged for so many was what you call the Stone Age. And so there has been this path that has been walked by humanity, working its way forward as best it knew how. And there have been some key ways that the dark have worked to seek to retain and expand the control that they had achieved over humanity prior to the fall. There was great consternation amongst the dark when the fall was triggered, because they realized that what they had to work with was greatly reduced. However, on another level, it meant that they could far more readily bring domination and control to human experience and to utilize humanity for their own purposes. And in many ways, this took a patterned path. Just as in Atlantis, there were those who chose the priest class as a mechanism by which to control humanity. And all of the world's major religions are examples of how beings of the dark overtook the teachings, the insights, the wisdom, if you will, of a great spiritual being, and twisted that for their own nefarious purposes, for power and control and self-aggrandizement and self-enrichment. And the pattern has been played out in all of the world major religions. And it is very clear to see from where I stand how this has unfolded. And many of you listening to this are aware of this on some level. And there were other threads that were triggered. Some of you understand that there was a group from Sirius sent forth to undertake some upgrading of the DNA of the human stock that was coming forth in this restructured state, you might say, to ensure that it had the ability to evolve in preparation for this current time. And they were, those that were sent forth were known as the Anunnaki. However, some of the Anunnaki decided to enslave humanity, to use them as a workforce, to mine gold for the Anunnaki who needed it for their own purposes. And as part of that enslavement, they altered the planned upgrading of the human DNA such that it could not move forward in the way that was planned. But more than that, from the point of view of the journey of the dark, there were many of the Anunnaki that were taken by humanity to be gods. And this has been expressed to an extent through the writings of Zechariah Sitchin, though this is not complete and entirely accurate. It is a very good place to begin to understand some of this. And so in its own way, that bubbled up through some of the religions. It is not well understood, for example, that the being referred to as Yahweh in the Old Testament was in fact one of the Anunnaki. It had nothing to do with the creator being in the center of the cosmos, but reflected the Anunnaki who behaved and seemed to be like gods to humanity at the time. This is but one example. And those threads that came from the Anunnaki have also traveled through the human experience, and have in many ways been the dark thread that has led to what you refer to as the cabal. And so it is important to recognize that the threads of the dark, the influences of the dark, have actually been multifaceted. Some have confused these threads and consider that they are all one, but there are quite a number of different paths, different groups of the dark, if you will, that have come forth throughout human history and left their own marks on the human journey. And so the outcome of this in so many ways has been the domination of humanity, the disempowerment of humanity, separating humanity from the truth of themselves, separating them from the understanding that they actually have within them all that they need to unfold the truth of who and what they are and to reconnect with their creator. It is not so readily done in that current consciousness as it was done in the time of Atlantis and will be beyond ascension. However, it is indeed possible, and examples of this are some of the great yogis who have lived and do live in the Himalayas. But there are other examples. And I also do not wish to say that all those who participate in the traditions of Indian spirituality are without influence from these dark forces, because many of those have been influenced also. And so it has been so many threads that have sought to control humanity through religion, through politics, through money, through power, through war, through food, through the deprivation of food and water, through the spread of disease, the manufacturing of diseases of various sorts, the manipulation of food, and so on. All of these things have been done in so many ways to control and indeed weaken humanity. And I do wish to say that there are those who have not acknowledged the existence of those of the light that have come forth throughout this history, seeking to combat, seeking to offset, seeking to defeat these beings of the dark that have come forth in so many forms, on so many levels, on so many paths throughout the human experience. And as is the nature of the way the dark has operated on the planet, they have acted to overtake those hidden paths of the light, those mystical paths, paths such as I mentioned, the great spiritual teachers, where the religions have been fashioned to look like they are one thing but indeed are another, fashioned to look like they are paths of light leading to a connection with the truth of the individual and their creator, whereas indeed for most they have been a path of manipulation and control. And so all of these have acted to overtake these paths. An example that I will give you is the Knights Templar, who came forth in the light with intention and ambition to free humanity, and of course were taken down by Prince Philip of France and by the Pope of his appointment. But there are threads that still exist that claim to be the Knights Templar, and really they have nothing to do with those old traditions, and indeed are deeply dominated and controlled by those of the dark. And so there are many who think that the Knights Templar were always dark, but they were not. Indeed, they were not. So I mention these things to give you some broader perspective. And I'm also drawn to mention that in the time of Atlantis, those of the dark believed that they had gained control of humanity, or were just on the verge of doing so when the fall came forth. It was as if their victory was snatched from their hands. And so it is in your time, in this exquisite moment in which I come forth and speak to you, that a very similar unfolding is happening. Humanity in general does not understand the power and importance of cycles, and it is not something that I understood whilst I was present upon the planet as Bobby Kennedy. But these play powerful and important roles on so many levels. And I've come to understand, for example, that this date that is about to be upon you was actually planned before this galaxy was ever put into place, let alone this planet. It is a moment that was long, long planned, a powerful cycle ending point. And so it is that we have this repeating pattern for the dark, where they were, or felt they were, on the verge of claiming control of humanity, only to see it snatched from their fingers by the fall in Atlantis. So too, we have the same events unfolding in this time, where the dark has strongly and firmly believed that they are on the verge of grabbing complete control of humanity, only to see it slip from their grasp. Except this time, not only will it slip from their grasp, but they will indeed have their journeys ended, because this transition moment that is about to be upon you also aligns with the end of the cycle of the dark. And so not only will they be cleared from the human experience through the unfolding of ascension, but indeed they will no longer exist. Their time is at an end. And they have fought long and hard to prevent this. But in the end, they have not succeeded. And the moment that they find themselves in, and you find yourselves in, is this moment where you are seeing a great thrashing from them. Events such as this mass shooting in Connecticut just the last day or so. An attempt by the dark to engender fear in humanity in this time where you are approaching this special date, to distract humanity from any focus upon it. It is an attempt to minimize the number of humanity that will have the opportunity to participate in this unfolding. But they will fail because they do not really understand what controls whether people participate in this process, and that is the choices being made primarily by their monad and their soul. So these attempts are doomed to failure. And you will notice how this and a number of these other events are triggered in more rural communities, smaller communities where people have felt safe. They are designed to upset that sense of security, like people will not feel safe anywhere, trust no one. This has been a very powerful part of their process, to break up families, to break up communities, to isolate people within their own family units, within their communities. And in many ways, they have been very successful at doing this. But ultimately, as I say, they are on the verge of failure. And so I wanted to, in this very overview manner, provide you with this picture, because many of you have been aware of some of these threads, but I sense very few have grasped how all of these threads have flowed through the human journey. And both John and I felt there was value in my coming forth and painting this overview picture for you, to put it in place and in a way put it in the historical record, because this transition is so nearly upon you. It will be in its own way something of a marker. And so this, my dear friends, was my message for you today.
That's a beautiful message, Bobby, and thank you. And, of course, we have questions. However, we're going to take one of our listeners first. And Mel on line 3, welcome. And your question. Mel on line 3, do you have a... I'm sorry, Mel went the way of the wind.
Is that melodramatic?
I think so. Okay. Well, we'll get to our own questions then. We've heard an awful lot about boundaries and how this planning of occurred at the very beginning of the galaxy. Can you give us your insight as to what a boundary is and if it can, on some level, be changed?
It is hard to describe a boundary in the sense that you can fully relate to in that consciousness. By boundary, I am taking it that you are referring to cycle boundaries that I referred to.
Yes.
And they inevitably appear in that consciousness as a moment in time. But there is more to it than that, because as you would understand, outside of your conscious experience, past, present, and future, in a sense, all exist as one. And they interplay. Yes, you, for the most part, find yourself in the present, but you truly can, in a sense, place yourself in a past experience, and it is as if you are there. And similarly, you can try on the future and investigate future paths and choose your preferred future, you might say, and then move towards that future. So, in a sense, that is a summary of the experience of the now. And your experience of a cycle boundary, as I said, is in that linear time experience. However, a cycle boundary is more comprehensive than this. It impacts the now. And so, within a given cycle, the possibilities of future unfold as they would be expressed within that cycle, within that boundary. But when the boundary is reached, if it is a major boundary, then not only the present experience will change, but the future will change. And to an extent, the past also. Again, I said this is hard for you to grasp fully in that consciousness, but this is the nature of a boundary. It is more comprehensive than just a simple line in the sand, you might say, on a timeline. But that is how you will experience it. And to look at it on another level, you are aware to an extent of the notion of cycles of Brahma, these very long periods of time, of creation, you might say, where souls come forth from all there is and begin to create. And just as it was in the beginning, the dimensions are laid out as the first step, and then dimensions, and then vibration flows forth within those dimensions as the cherubim set up the vibration within those dimensions. And so is established a context for creation to unfold, and that creation expands until the completion of that outbreath of that cycle, and then the outbreath stops and the in-breath begins. That is, there is the beginning of the contraction of all that is expanded back into all there is. And that does not mean that creation stops, because it does not. New galaxies continue to be created. New experiments continue. But there is this fundamental change that things are beginning to fold back. And so there is a point reached where all of that creation, that entire cycle of creation, as is expressed in the void, is all folded back into all there is. And so those cycle boundaries are very clear. They encompass all creation, not only time, but also space and matter and energy. And they are very sharp boundaries. And outside of those boundaries, in between cycles of Brahma, it's as if all of these things do not exist. Because in a sense, within that particular cosmos, within the context of that prime creator being, they do not. So this is a very stark example of boundaries. And so the boundary that you are approaching is an important and powerful boundary. Yes, it is the moment of the alignment with galactic center for your solar system. And that happens every 13,000 or so years, every half cycle of the precession of the equinoxes, or every half great year. And the last of those was when the last phase of Atlantis fell. So this is one thing which is occurring at this moment. But also it is the boundary where the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma begins. These two were intentionally aligned. And thirdly, it is, as you have been told, the moment when the cycle of the dark ends. And that is inviolate and inflexible. They will not be allowed to survive walking that path, not only in this cosmos, but beyond this moment. And so you can see these boundaries can be very powerful. And I will also mention that humanity indeed has free will, and many focus upon this. And there are those who would say, but how come this cycle boundary is here? What happens to humanity's free will? And I will say to you that free will, in its broadest sense, exists within cycle boundaries. Those boundaries are inviolate. And yes, there are some choices that a soul has at those boundaries. It may choose to participate in ascension. It may choose to wait a little longer if it believes the individual has not progressed sufficiently, but will do so very soon, or that it really has not learnt very much and needs to leave this planet and reincarnate elsewhere to continue their third dimensional journey, or if indeed they are a being of the dark, they will not exist anymore. They, in a sense, are the choices that are being made, and you might consider that a very narrow set. But, in a sense, free will exists within those cycle boundaries. They are very powerful boundaries, and in a sense, free will is something which is granted within a particular expression of consciousness. And that grant, that permission, that power, that authority is bounded by these major cycles. And so I hope this gives you some broader sense of what is meant by cycle boundaries.
What a beautiful and complete answer, Bobby. I especially like your description of the now. That was very informative. I would like to move to another area, and that is the dark as they exist on planet Earth. What can we expect of them? Not when the cycle ends, but as it is preparing to end. They probably sense some changes going on. What is your perception of how they will react to this?
As you may know, many of them have sought to make plans to avoid the impact of these changes. This shift has been thoroughly hidden from most of humanity, but the dark are very aware of this boundary and its importance. And so some of them have believed that by going underground they will survive what is about to unfold, which of course they will not. Some of them, as I have said, are already trying to manipulate humanity into a place of fear, because they believe this will prevent them from participating in the ascension process. And I explained that this will not have this effect. We are aware of possible actions they might take in the next few remaining days, but we cannot be certain whether these things will unfold. There has been, as you know, talk of an attack upon Iran, and this is still a very real possibility in this very short window of time. But we certainly would not say that this is in any way certain to happen. Primarily, the responses we are seeing are responses of panic. because they can see that their attempts to gain the ultimate control are not fully in place before the unfolding of these energies. And so fear and consternation is part of the response that is happening. There is another thread at work here, and that is some of the key controlling dark beings within the planet that, in a sense, have been the driving force behind the cabal as it is being expressed in human form. Those controlling it from within the planet have been cleared. And so powerful beings within the cabal will know this, and this is also creating great consternation and fear. And so they are a little like a wounded animal at the moment. Beware of its actions. And on a level, this massacre in Connecticut is an illustration of this wounded thrashing beast. It is sad and unfortunate to see such an event unfold, but those children that participated are all okay. They, in fact, will all come forth on the fifth dimension. Though you find this hard to understand, all beings that participate in such events have chosen this path. They have chosen to be part of that process to serve several purposes, and they are being taken care of. Do not be concerned about them.
Thank you. There has been talk of war. That was one of my thoughts about Iran, if that will happen. And I also noticed that there's so many places in the world presently where there are actions of war. And I'm assuming that this is the dark also trying to bring forth fear and in a way hide. But I'm wondering if there is another group that is trying to move to another planet other than Earth. Do you have any sense of that?
There are those upon the planet who can readily move to other planets. But it is like they are locked in this deadly embrace, you might say. They have an understanding of the importance of this planet on a level, and their desire to control it is almost overwhelming. It is like they are mesmerized by what is happening here. And so even though in a practical sense, they could move elsewhere, they will not, because of this mesmerizing desire that they have to control what unfolds here. And in any case, moving to another planet will not save them in any sense, because, as I said, this cycle boundary is a boundary drawn for all of the dark, wherever they be. And it has been their belief that if they could stop that cycle ending, the one place they could do it was here on planet Earth, to stop the unfolding here on Earth. Because, in a sense, they have understood its importance and the trigger that it represents. And so their efforts have been focused on here, and they will remain focused here to try and stop it, even though they know it is slipping from their grasp. They are, as I said, mesmerized by what is happening here.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming forth, Robert. You have brought so much really fascinating and interesting information, and I'm sure our listeners have gained much from it. And we do have a little time. Was there anything else that you wish to say on this matter of the dark?
I do not wish to so much focus on the dark, but rather the future for humanity. this time has seemed so dark. There are so many forces at work undermining the human experience. The standard of living of so many has fallen dramatically in the last 10 to 15 years, not only in this country, but in others. And as I mentioned, the separations of families, the breaking up of families, the acceptance now by women that they need to work to support the family rather than spending the time being a supporting, nurturing mother to their beautiful young children. These changes that have been encouraged and fostered by the dark to again break up families. I say to you, these challenges and difficulties that have become such a powerful part of this current experience are all dissolving. There is a positive future for the planet and for humanity. And even though at this late date you see very little tangible evidence in your experience of what I'm speaking of, I want you to know that all of this has been long planned, and it is truly about to unfold in the experience of all of humanity. And so, rather than focus more on the dark, I simply wish to give you a message of hope and possibility and opportunity, which is about to emerge for everyone listening to this call.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. We do appreciate it. And you have come forth with, I feel, a remarkable message. Thank you. And Richard, thank you for your service. You do a tremendous job of bringing forth the information from these souls. And people don't always realize the amount of concentration and the amount of energy that it takes for you to do it.
Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Bobby, for coming forth. I trust it was of value to people.
Well, there was a lot of information that I thought was really wonderful, that was new. I loved his description of the now. I just found that was so fascinating. And if any of the listeners out there do not remember that, I suggest that you go back and listen to his description of the now. And so, Richard, we have maybe 7 minutes before it's time for us to say goodbye. This hour does pass by so quickly, does it not?
It does.
And during this short amount of time that is left, what might you wish to discuss?
Well, it's hard to ignore the fact that here we are, the last Saturday before the 21st of December in 2012, and to not acknowledge what this has what this date has meant to you and I and the work that we have done, but also so many that have come forth and connected with our work. And there are many who look at this date a lot like many looked at the year 2000 event, which a lot of people were expecting change, and it could have not been more anticlimactic than it was, including the computer problems which were forecast, and to my knowledge, there was not one. And so it is, I think, useful to just reflect upon the number of pointers that have been left for humanity about this date. I mean, the best known is the long count Mayan calendar, but it really is not the only example of this. There have been many. There is a lot of information, for example, in the myths and legends of humanity from so many cultures, and this has perhaps been best drawn together in the book known as Hamlet's Mill, put out in 69 by a couple of people whose name I forget, but they understood this stuff extremely well. Hamlet's Mill is a heavy read, but it really illustrates this incredibly powerfully, and how this is embedded even in the story of Hamlet itself and the Danish myth that the Hamlet story is drawn from. Not only that, but also, in fact, in the layout of the pyramids and the Sphinx at Giza. It's buried in that also. And so many buildings that have been put up around the world at various points that reflect the alignments of the equinox, say, of some 10,500 years BC, which is the last time we were in alignment with galactic center. All these pointers that have been here in the traditions. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it is going to be some dramatic thing at this solstice, but certainly that has been the evidence that has come forth in our work. And I tell you, it has been very challenging for Carolyn and I to hold this place, because many of you will know that some of the information that we have been given has been not accurate, and that has challenged us. But also there have been some things about our work that we simply cannot ignore. That has been this ongoing interference that Carolyn has suffered, which it amazes me she's here at all, to be honest. And then when we find out the source and clear it, the pain goes away, or her blood pressure goes from ridiculous levels that ought to have her in intensive care down to normal. And this has been going on and on for the last 3 or so years. These are some of the things that I can point to, and perhaps some of the more interesting illustrations of this have been, as I've said before, the information that has come forth in the Soul Origin and History readings that we've been doing recently, the information about Atlantis and the information about ascension that's come forth in that material has truly been, I think, quite fascinating. And some of you will know how it has been primarily the incarnated cherubim that seem to have been connecting with our work. And sometimes, you know, you bring this stuff forth and you wonder if you're crazy. And, you know, whether it's really been like this. And then lo and behold, when we started doing the Soul Origin and History readings, we had someone order one who we'd never heard from before. We didn't know her from Adam, dare I use that expression. And lo and behold, what came forth from universal consciousness was a very clear illustration that she too was a cherubim. So there has been all this, these pointers, these little pieces of the puzzle. And in other ways, just looking at the personal journeys that Carolyn and I have walked that have led us to this moment in time, you know, maybe it's a complete farce, but I don't think so. And so I wish all of you well for what is sitting on our doorstep. May it unfold as we have come to understand, and I look forward to seeing all of you on the other side.
I love it. You mean the other side of the date, sweetheart, not the other side of...
That's what I mean, the other side of the date.
I plan on staying on this side for a while.
Okay, yep, I accept the... As I said, I always agree with you.
I love it. Anyway, my dear friends out there who listen to us and who send us your remarkably, incredibly wonderful messages, you know we all love you. We are with you. You are in our hearts. Until the next time, this is Carolyn Evers and
Richard Presser. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.